Thank you so much, my brother, and I'm glad you're here this morning. And before we start this new series of sermons, I want you to know that the church bulletin is designed so that you have certain tools for you. You have one card from the church and one Ten Commandments package. I put 12 last week. I don't know how many. I want to put one every day. But I put 12 in one place. It was in McDonald's. And we got a real raffle discussion, but ends up in prayer. Remember, Gene? Ends up in prayer. Can you imagine? And don't take it for granted. When you pray, the Lord works. I believe it. And so end up in prayer, and we enjoy it. And I want you to do that. Most of the people are familiar with the Ten Commandments. And I'm trying to work one in Spanish in the back and in the front so that we can have one in Spanish for people like that. But most of the people know English and so well. They look, the Ten Commandments is obvious. You cannot keep it. It's just obvious. You don't have to argue about it. They just tell you. And so you tell them the way to keep it is to have the protection of God in Christ Jesus. And it's just so beautiful. Use it. Become an evangelist in this city of Morgan Hill. We'd like to have as many people as possible at Morgan Hill coming and worshiping with us. Now, this month, we are considering topical studies in the light of the Word of God, which is the Bible. And here is my topic for today. I took it, I sent out the form questions across the internet and across the radio. And this is the number one question. What do we Christians know about life? Is that a fair question? I think it's a fair question. What do we Christians know about life? Well, we Christians have a textbook. It is called the Bible. And I want you to turn your Bible just for a second to 2 Timothy 3:16. Page 1248, page 1248, 2 Timothy 3:16. We Christians have one textbook. It's called the Bible. And in page 1248, there you find 2 Timothy, the second letter of the Apostle Paul to his disciple Timothy. And he is instructing him, giving him the textbooks for his life. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is the breath of God, and is profitable and is good for a doctrine. And doctrine is the standard, the teaching, all right? It's good for teaching, the standard. For reproof, that's the diagnosis. I want you to think in a medical terms. The scripture give you a diagnosis of who you are, where you stand, where you go, all right? 2 Timothy 3:16. For reproof, for correction, that's medicine. Correction is not a negative thing, it's a positive thing. Some people tell you who is training you in a job, you're doing something wrong, and they come the correction. Don't take it bad, take it good. They give you a correction. Don't do this in this way, do it in this way, and that is the medicine, all right? And for instruction, I call instruction preventive medicine. You read the Bible, you get a smart in your head of what God wants, and when a situation comes, then you know what to do about it because God told you about it. All right? Now, when we have questions, the Bible has the answer. I know that because in Romans chapter 4, page 1226, Romans chapter 4, and in verse 3, page 1226 in the Bible, by the way, the Bible that I use, the same Bible you have in the pew, so it's easy to follow. In Romans 4, 3, in Romans 4, the Apostle Paul recalls the moment when he was questioned by the Jewish people how Abraham was justified by God. What do you think, Paul? And look at what he answered in verse 3. He said, for what says the scripture? I'm using the King James. Other versions have a different way to put it, so please, I want to refer only to the King James Bible as the patron of teaching. For what says the scripture? And so, I will say this, what the Bible says about life is what we believe. All right? What the Bible says about life is what we believe. We are not depending on a simple book of science. We are not depending on biology. We are not depending on physiology. We are depending on this book, the Bible. Why? You will see it why. All right? So remember that. I'm not going to bring you studies on physiology or studies in biology that you study in the school. And there are people in Boston, they ask me these questions. There are people in Texas, they ask me these questions. I will not deal from a professor, tiny little mind. I'm going to deal from the mind of God and tells you what the Bible really says. So then we're going to work hard. What does the Bible says about life? I have a lot of scriptures. I will tell you the page number. Don't panic. And so you will be able to see the scripture in your Bible. What does the Bible says about life? There are three things. You notice in the outline that I talk about it. Life starts at the mother's womb. I don't care what the news said. I don't care what the lawyer said. I don't care what the judges said. The Bible teaches that the life starts at the mother's womb. Then I'm going to teach you the life star in the mind of the designer. There is a designer. There is somebody who designed everything. And you will see the details. The Bible tells you how well you will design. So there is no an ugly person in this room, ever an ugly person in the world. Every one of you are beautiful because you were created by the master designer God. You will see it. And then lifespan is the product of the designer, not the product of medicine. Wow. Lifespan is the product of the designer, not the byproduct of medicine. Are you ready? And I hope you believe the Bible after this, because there is something good after. All right? Let's work together. Life starts at the mother's womb. Let's go back to Psalm 139 that our brother read. And verse 13, page 714 in the Bible that is in the pew. Page 714, and the first point I want to make is a life star at the mother's womb. That's what the Bible says. If you look in Psalm 139, the Bible said, I have to make some a terrible translation in the sense of the rude translation of the Hebrew, but I read it in English and I tell you what the Hebrew says. It's a verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins, said the King James. The original says, you made my kidney. Now, kidney is the most precious organ of the Hebrew people, not your heart, your kidney, all right? And look at what verse 13 said. Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. And this is what the original said. You made my kidney. Kidney is the most intrinsic part of your body. It depends on many things. Depends on the pancreas feeding the kidney. Depends on any area that is moving on. And your kidneys stop and you stop. And there is no shots that can make the kidneys move. It's gone. When your kidneys stop, you stop. And so he said, you have made my kidney. Other translations are, you have made my inward part, which is good. It's an understanding of what God has done. And knit me together in my mother's womb. And the King James says, and has covered me. The word cover is not there. It's the word knitting. You ladies who like knitting, those who do the beautiful things, knitting, you know how intrinsic the details are. And you cannot miss a point. Otherwise, you can see it. So everything has to be perfect. And the Bible says here that God had made my inward parts and had knit those inward parts together so they holds together whether you stand or sleep. You know something? Or run. They don't go apart inside. They hold in because God had knit them together. Now go with me to the book of Job, previous book to the book of Psalms. It's in page 626, 31:15. I was made in my mother's womb. All right, look at what the Bible says. Job 31 and verse 15. Did not he who made me in the wounds make them? And did not one fashion us in the womb? So the womb is not a fetus. The womb is a person. What you ladies have in the womb is not a thing. It's a baby. Did not he who made me, God made you, bara. God intrinsically moved all the pieces together and made that baby and fashioned that baby. There will be a good-looking baby regardless what other people said. God said, it's going to be a good-looking baby because I made it. Isn't that great? Move your Bible now to the book of Psalm 22 and verse 9, page 647. The book of Psalms, chapter 22 and verse 9. Look at what the psalmist says in reference to life starts at the mother's womb. Psalm 22, verse 9, page 647. It was you who took me from the womb. Wow. It was you who took me from the womb. When you are born, God take you out. Oh, we give an incentive shots and we do this and the other. But the baby will not come out until God said, now, baby. I like that. You know, and the womb is so safe that nobody wants to come out. You have to be stupid to want to come out of the womb. You know, mama feed you and watch over you and you enjoy. I was playing soccer already in the wombs, you know, things like that. But when God said, come out, you come out. Wow. I wish the doctors know this. Isaiah, go to Isaiah 44, verse 2, page 800 in your Bible. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 2, page 800. The Bible teaches that life starts at the mother womb and not in a tube. And look at what the Bible said. Thus said the Lord who made you. Now, God used a Hebrew word over there that the translation of that word should be fashion you. God made all the intrinsic parts of your face and the stature and the length of your arms. God did it right there in the womb. Who formed, said. The Bible said in Isaiah 42, verse 2, thus said the Lord who made you, who fashioned you, the model of you, and who formed you, that's the frame you have, in the womb, and will help you. Do not fear, O Jacob, my servant. Jehoram, another name for Israel, the beloved one, whom I have chosen. Jehoram means beloved one. And so here is what the scripture is saying in Isaiah 44 and verse 2. God has fashioned you, all the things that the way you are and the way you look. God has fashioned you and the frame you have. God has made it, all of them in your mother's womb. Wow. Wow. Unbelievable. Now, Jeremiah. You are an Isaiah. Go to Jeremiah, page 821. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Now, this one is going to blow your mind away. When people, see, that get me excited when people said that whatever women have in their womb is not a baby. That get me mad how ignorant they are. This in Jeremiah 1, 5 will blow your mind away. Look at what God said about Jeremiah. Before I form you, again, here is the word frame. Before I frame you in the womb, I knew you. Wow, to know a person, you need to talk to a person, is that right? You can say, you know, the word to know is used. I know what you think, Jeremiah. I know what you will do, Jeremiah. I know how you behave, Jeremiah. I know your personality, Jeremiah. I know the real Jeremiah. What in the womb? Well, sometimes the mothers said, oh, I can hear my baby kicking. Well, the baby is moving. It has a mind of their own. It's not a piece of meat over there. It's a brain over there. And the brain maybe was a little uncomfortable because you see the little tie. And so the baby is kicking to get room, you know. The babies are not stupid. They're smart. And so God said to Jeremiah, look at this. Before I framed you in the womb, I knew who you are. And before you were born, I consecrated or I sanctified or I dedicated you and appointed you to be a prophet to the nation. Jeremiah, before you come out of your mother, I know what school you're going to go. I know what you're going to do. And I know where you're going to preach. Wow. Now, God is talking to a baby in the wombs. See, it's not a thing. It's a baby. It is a baby. Finally, on this life start at the mother's womb, go to the book of Job again. 612 is the page. You are just one book before the book of Psalm. Chapter 10, verses 9 and all the way to 11. Look at what God has to talk to Job and telling Job, whatever happened to you, please do not panic. I'm in charge here. Job chapter 10, verse 9. Remember, I beseech thee that thou hast made me. God used here the word shape me as the clay. And will thou bring me into the dust again? In other words, Job said, you mold me in my mother's womb like a clay. Have you ever played with clay and make molds like that? Hast thou no poured me out as a milk and curdled me like cheese? Have you ever been in a cheese factory, how they made it? And that's how God made you. Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh. Wow. And has fenced me with bones and looms. Oh, wow. So no doubt, the Bible teaches clearly, openly, without mistake. The Bible teaches that life starts at the mother womb. Your physical life and your mental life. Wow. See, the baby has a mind of their own. The baby has a mind of their own. It's not that something. The baby has a mind of their own. They have a structure, the bones of their own. God knows when he made you, he knows how tall he's going to be. Amazing. So life starts at the mother's womb. Not when you come out of your mother, that is the evidence of life, is when the conception takes place. And when the conception takes place, God starts alive. Every time the same process. And God is in charge of making you with blue eyes, or dark eyes, or blonde hair, or dark hair, or no hair at all, whatever. But you come out perfect because he made it. There is no one ugly person in the universe. God made it. All right, number two. Life. It starts in the mind of the designer. People ask me in the universities, who made me? That's a good question. Life starts in the mind of the designer. Look at with me, Psalm 139, let's go back, and verse 14, page 713, if you use the Bible that is in the pew. You have a Bible that is in the pew. It's page 713. Life starts in the mind of the designer. Look at what the Bible says. Psalm 139, verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The word wonderfully made is and complex made. That's the Hebrew word. And I'm a complex. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. So I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God, you made that complex mechanism that we call the body. The body. That complex mechanism called the body. You made it, said David. Now, really? How complex are we? I receive from time to time a geographic magazine. National Geographic, which I like geography, but I don't like their understanding of nature. And so I buy the magazine to see how wrong they are so I can write back to them. You have to know what your enemy thinks. And so it's just so beautiful. There is one verse of the scripture, too, to describe everything. Go back to Genesis with me, first book of the Bible, chapter 1, and verse 26 and verse 27. And look what the scripture says. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Here is how everything is started. I was watching television, science television yesterday. It said, after the Big Bang, before the Big Bang, and as I got sick and listening to that story. Here is the Big Bang, if you wanted to call it in that way. Genesis 1, 26, 27. Then God said, God, the complex board of directors in heaven, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Then God said, let us make man, let us fashion man, said the original. In the image of a monkey. No, in our image. No, in the image of a gorilla. Look at yourself. Are you a gorilla? Come on. Maybe when you get out of bed, you look like a gorilla, but that's all right. It's okay, Raquel, it's okay. All right. And God said, let us make man, fashion man, in our image, according to our likeness. In other words, you can think, you can determine, you can have a will. That's what God does. All right? You know good and bad. And let them rule over the flesh of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. You are smarter than any animal. That's what they said. We're going to create man, and mankind is going to be, and the word man is not male, it's mankind. It's the word Adam. Adam means mankind. I'm going to create mankind, and mankind is going to be smarter than your cat. So don't let your cat control you. You can control your cat. Verse 27. And God created. God used the same word of Genesis 1:1, bara. And God created. There was no something else made. And then God, from something all that was made, he created. He created out of nothing. He creates you out of nothing. Unbelievable. Yeah, it is. And God created man, mankind. In his own image, in the image of God, he created. He male and female, he created. You got it? When God made you, he was not confused. Oh, should I make a boy or a girl? Well, let him grow, and when he grow old, he say, oh, I'm a boy, and he's a girl. No, no, no. This business is not true. God created you like a male. I look in my mirror, and I say, I'm a man. If you're a woman, look in your mirror. You're a woman. Come on. God is not confused. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. Verse 28. This is good. And God blessed them. And God blessed them. Remember Proverbs 10:22? The blessing of the Lord do not add sorrow. God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the ever living thing that moves on the earth. Now chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord, chapter 2, verse 7, same book of Genesis. And the Lord God formed, again, bara, created out of nothing, mankind of the dust of the ground. That's your physiology. 70 minerals. You know, fantastic? And you and I are a mineral compound. That's when you have a fever, and then the doctor said, well, you need an antibiotic. Where did he got it? From the pharmacy. No, he got it from the earth. From a plant. That's where antibiotics come in. Medicine comes from plants. Why? Because you are a plant. You are a punch of dirt. Wow. And breathe into his nostril the breath of life. That's what, the sparkle. You know when you have a match? The match is not light on. But when you sparkle, light's on. Now people, genetic engineering, trying to create life, and they take sperms and things and they try to shake it. They shake it the whole day because it's not going to blossom. Only when God said it. Breathing through his nostril the breath of life. And mankind became what? A living being or a living person. That's a personhood. That's what psychology study, your personhood, the way you are. So God said, man is a little compound of three things. In physiology, you're a compound of chemicals, just a compound from the dirt. Doesn't matter your color, if you're yellow, white, or black, all of you the same. You're a compound from the earth. And then God said, I have given you your personality. So love yourself. God give it to you, that personality. Some of you are quiet and like to research. Some of you are spontaneous and open like me and so on. You know, and some of you are very strict like my wife. You know, just everybody like that. We need each other. Every personality is a gift of God. And I respect you in the way you are. And there's no, you're not wrong. Some of you are quiet, that's good. That's the way God made it. Some of you speak the whole day, that's how God made it. Nobody's wrong. Now, this is not the story of the Old Testament. If you go to the New Testament, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and verse 23, and I give you the page in a minute, that's page 1289, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and verse 23, the Bible talks about the same thing. 6,000, 7,000 years passed by, or 8,000 years passed by, and look at what God said. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete. That's what you are. You have a spirit that is life. You have a body that is life, and the God is praying for that. And so the point then that we made is that life starts in the mind of the designer. You were designed by God in your mother's womb. You know, fantastic? It's absolutely gorgeous. It's absolutely awesome. It's just holy. It's just your mind cannot receive it unless you're a child of God. It's so great, this truth, that unless you're a children of God, you cannot teach this to the President of the United States. Because it's so awesome. It's so beautiful. Now comes the question of life. Why people die? I ask every doctor after surgery, why people die? And they say, oh, they die because pneumonia, they die because of this, they die because of the kidney. No, they die because they have to die. There is no escape to that. You know, genetic engineering want to, Satan want to avoid death, but Satan knows himself that he's going to be finished too. Now look at here. Life span is the product of the designer. If you go back to the psalm that our brother read in Psalm 139, page 713, Psalm 139 and verse 15 and 16. Here we have an explanation of that. The Bible says in Psalm 139 and in verse 15 and 16, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made, bara again, made from nothing, in secret and curiously brought in the lowest part of the earth, in the darkest part of the womb. I know that the womb, now man knows that, but the womb is dark. God said it. He made it like this. The womb is dark. Beautiful. Thine eyes, verse 16, they see my substance. That's the word embryo, by the way. That I see the embryo, yet being imperfect. No, it's not imperfect. Unformed. It's not the word unperfect. It's the word unformed. The embryo is unformed. At the beginning, it's just a capsule of three little things. One time with Dr. McCormick, we saw in the lab, he showed me a 4 days embryo. And it's just there were six little capsules moving like that. All right? It's they were unformed. And in thy book, all my members were written. Ah, ha, ha. Every little bone, every little muscle, every little tendon, they're written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Ooh, 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 this is heavy. When my bones were already not developed, God knew them and named them. He said, this is number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4. For you to name your bones, the doctor has to take an x-ray. All right? And they show you an x-ray. They say, oh, look, it's a T1 is here and S2 is here. Yeah. And God said, I already did it before. They were there. Boy, I get excited with this. I really get excited. It is something that no wonder people try to say that we come from monkey because they cannot understand the word of God. Unless you have God in your heart, you cannot understand this. It's awesome. Now, lifespan. God has made you all like this. Now, let's talk about lifespan. Now, let's go to Ecclesiastes. You're in Psalm. You move to the right to page 748. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 2. Look at what happened. Look at what happened. Solomon comes to one mind and look at what he says. A time to give birth and a time to die. That's in right the space. There's a time to be born and a time to die. And that is the cycle of humanity. Whether you are an Arab, whether you are a Jew, whether you are a Gentile, this is for all equal. A time to be born and a time to die. Now, if you want an example of this, you can go to the first book of the Bible in Genesis, in chapter 9, and in verse 29, and you have the age of one person. I can go to Genesis 5 and I give you the age of everybody, but let's go to Genesis 9, verse 29, first book of the Bible, chapter 9, verse 29. And we know how old was Noah when he died. The Bible said, so all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. 950 years, that's a lot of years. And he died. And he died. Now, let's go with me to Psalm 90 and verse 10. Page 687. Go to the book of Psalms, Psalm 90, verse 10, page 687. And here is an idea of your days. And I'm right in the middle of this. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, 3 score plus 10, 70 years. Or if due to a strength, 80 years, yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone and we fly away. See, when for the believer is not death, you just fly away. And so 70 to 80 years is your life. Oh, some people live until 90. I saw in the newspapers some people 100, but they all die, is that right? Nobody is 2,500 years old. They will die. There is a lifespan. Now, let's go to the New Testament and the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, at verse 20, verse 11, 20, page 1126. Luke Gospel, chapter 12, and verse 20, page 1126. Look at what God said. But God said to him, remember the story of the fool guy who has the bank account with everything. He has his CDs. He has his liquid assets. He has everything in his packet. And look at what Jesus said. You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? You fool, he said, you save here and you have your marketing checkbook and you have this and you have everything packed and tonight you come to me. You know, we die when God says so. Whether it's a kidney, whether it's a heart, whether it's an accident, the time is not in the hands of mankind. Even those who shot themselves, the time is in the hands of God. So the lifespan, it doesn't depend on your parents' background or your grandparents' background. Yes, there is a certain thing that if your grandparents live until 90, the possibilities are that you live until 90. But that is not secure. What it is, as the Bible said, I make you be born and I close your life. Period. So now, when people said, oh, you can do abortion because it is not a baby. Now, they know it's a baby, but they are so evil in their mind that they say it's not a baby. And when the government pays for killing babies in the wombs of people, there is something wrong here. But you know, it's not new again. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, page 765. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. Look at what's happening today that happened there in Isaiah 6,000 years ago. Look at here, Isaiah 5:20, page 765. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. So watch those who change the real thing for the wrong thing, and they call it a different way. And if you keep a generation like that, the next generation don't know what is right. That's why we keep on preaching the Bible. Because if you change the Bible for something else, very soon the right is wrong and the wrong is right. But thank God, in this book of ours, the Bible is always the same. Now, can people find God? Yes, they can. If you go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, the Bible says this. Romans 1:20, page 1, 2, 2, 3. This is what the Bible says. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, been understood through what has been made, so they are without excuse. Nobody have excuse. You cannot say, oh, I'm an American, I'm sorry, I don't understand this. No, no excuse. Oh, I'm an African, I don't know, I don't understand this. No excuse. Oh, I'm a Chinese, you know, we are in production. No excuse. God has made a plan, and in the plan you see the life of God. As you drive into my house, you find 15 deers looking to you, or maybe 50 to 60 turkeys. This is the heat season. So you have the male turkey, which is beautiful, with the tail, with the things on the back, you know, trying to entice the girls. And the girls look to them. So I stop my car and say, get them, come on, go. And they don't like me around. And they go, no, I don't know what they say. So I say, come on, go. I speak to them in Spanish. Everybody laugh in my town, there in my place. And they move so I can move my car. But they're all there. Who made them? I asked a car driver, I said, oh, boy, you have fun with them. I said, you know, I wonder, how do they know this is the heat time? He said, what are you talking about? How do they know the male want to find the female, and the female selected who will be with her? How do they know all of this? He said, well, that's too much for me. He said, then he pulled away. But nobody, see, God created all of this. Your plants. Jean has given us the best orange I ever have in the world. And my wife and I had dinner with those oranges. About 10, 12. Oh, beautiful. Who made it? How come there are different kinds of oranges? You know, when you see that, a seed, and then that beautiful orange. You know, you eat it. Who made it? The Bible said here, so they are without excuse. I made the whole universe. You listen to the television and you're watching the newspaper. There are 20 more suns, perhaps 20 more moons, and so on, all over over there. The book of Job already told you that. So I wonder myself, I said, like, well, you know the word que pasó? Que pasó means what happened. So I wrote the Maya line in Spanish, que pasó? ¿Qué pasó en America that we are so confused that a baby in the mother's womb is not a baby? ¿Qué pasó? Pasó the same thing. Genesis 3 tells us that man became a sinner by disobeying God. And man tried to be his own God. And from that on, he lost the ability to think with God. He died in his soul. He lost the ability to think in his God. Ephesians 2 said, you were dead in trespasses and sin. They were all alive, but their soul was dead before God. Thank God that Ephesians said, by God and his mercy, who love us, has given us grace to believe. You know how that grace comes? You know how that faith comes to believe this stuff? The Bible said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. When in America they took the Bible out of the school, Satan have done a great, mighty thing. We learn Castilian Spanish with our Castilian 1511 Bible in our school in South America. And there were American teachers and teachers from France teaching us to read Castilian in our Bible because that was pure language. No knowing those teachers that they were putting the Word of God into the heart of the 6th grade, 7th grade, 9th grade, at 12 to pass the Spanish class, you have to read any book of the Bible with perfect pronunciation. And we learn Castilian. And that got my job in radio, myself reading Castilian. People say, how do you read? I learned in the grammar school through American teachers. You know, not only the Bible is out of the school, it's out of the homes. I wonder how many times, how many minutes are they you read the Bible to your children. Oh, we teach them science. We teach them art. But please, if you want your child to know that a baby and the womb of a thing and the womb of the mother is not a thing, is a baby, you have to read the Bible, will you? In America, we get too busy. Sport activities, all kinds of activities. But we must read the Bible. Because the Bible has the information that will make you to believe. I cannot make you to believe. I will not ask you to believe, but God will. And so I pray that in his mercy, God will lead you to believe that because you have been dumped by Satan to be black from the knowledge of God, now you can really ask God, God have mercy on me. I have inherited a damaged nature. I was born with a factory defect, not by God, but by sin. Oh God, in Jesus Christ, give us the peace that we have and the understanding that we have and the salvation of God that we have. Once you have Jesus in your heart, then God restore your personhood, the one that God created. And now you understand when God speaks. So I don't expect that a surgeon will understand this. I don't expect that a regular internist doctor will understand this. I expect that a child of God will understand it. If you are not a child of God, read this book. Read this book and we'll come to you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the great lesson you gave us today. We are not the product of an explosion. We do not descend from a gorilla. We are the product of a sweet and mighty God who designed us perfect. Lord, help us to come back to that perfection by taking Jesus Christ into our heart. In Jesus we pray. Amen.